God.
Grant me the serenity to accept the things that cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Amen.
Good evening, folks. Everyone, welcome to the Simple Actions Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. Just a word about the recording. You may notice a little red dot up indicating that we're recording this. That's strictly an audio recording. We're not recording the video portion. Also, want to let you know that you can sign up for our email on our website at simpleactions.net. And also, I think, David, one of us will be putting the PayPal information in the chat here shortly, so that when we get around to that, you can consider contributing. I'm getting ahead of myself. Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. Newcomers, is there anyone here in their first 30 days of sobriety? No one? Okay. Let's see, preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contribution. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and to help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book, Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This evening, we are discussing steps 5, 6, and 7, I believe. Please welcome our panel this evening. We have Candida, and I beg your pardon, I'm not sure who our other person is.
David.
Ah, David. Right. Thank you. Thank you both. Okay, I will read the first paragraph on page. I'm not sure which one it is. David, if you put that up for us, it's okay, from page 72. And again, we're covering steps 5, 6, and 7. If you could scroll down just a little bit, David, five would be, okay, admit it to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. You'd think I'd know that by heart by now. I do, actually. But and 6 would be, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. And 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. And our first reading is from page 72. Having made our personal inventory, what should we do about it? We have been trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our Creator, and to discover the obstacles in our path. We have admitted certain defects. We have ascertained in a rough way what the trouble is. We have put our finger on the weak items in our personal inventory. Now these are about to be cast out. This requires action on our part, which, when completed, will mean that we have admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our defect. This brings us to the fifth step in our program of recovery mentioned in the preceding chapter. This is perhaps difficult, especially discussing our defects with another person. We think we have done well enough in admitting these things to ourselves. There is doubt about that in actual practice. We usually find a solitary self-appraisal insufficient. Many of us thought it necessary to go much further. We will be more reconciled to discussing ourselves with another person when we see good reasons why we should do so. The best reason first. If we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives. Trying to avoid this humbling experience, they have turned to easier methods. Almost invariably, they got drunk. Having persevered with the rest of the program, they wondered why they fell. We think the reason is that they never completed their house cleaning. They took inventory all right, but hung on to some of the worst items in stock. They only thought they had lost their egoism and fear. They only thought they had humbled themselves, but that they had not learned enough of humility, fearlessness, and honesty in the sense we find it necessary until they told someone else all their life story. David, Candida, I'll let you two work out who will start first.
Fine. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Candida. It's so good to see your guys' faces, Aaliyah, Leanne, all these people from Virginia. Amy just texted me like 2 hours ago if I wanted to, you know, share. And you know, I always like to say yes when I'm asked to do anything for Alcoholics Anonymous. So, you know, I'm so grateful that when I came to the program, I was very young and very crazy. I came from a really sick alcoholic home. And, you know, they say in the second step, like restored to sanity. I don't think there was a sanity to be restored to. I had to find a new sanity in AA, you know, because I grew up in this disease. One of the things that really scares me about my alcoholism, you know, after getting sober, was that there were so many things I started doing and I was justifying, you know, and not questioning myself or thinking, is that, you know, like just the reasoning was so messed up. And when I came to the program, there was a woman in the rooms. She was from Oklahoma and she was a big book thumper. And when she shared, she like touched my heart. And I just thought, that woman's going to be my sponsor. And I'm so grateful that I asked her to be my sponsor. She was rough and tough and she kicked my ass. But that's exactly what I needed in the beginning, because I think if somebody would have been gentle with me, I would have like missed the boat. And I think on our second meeting, our first meeting, she said, you know, do you have anything that's preventing you from believing in God? And I said, do you have any prejudices? And I'm like, no. And she's like, well, is there anything that, you know, stopping you from believing in a higher power? And I said, well, you know, I'm afraid that I might like come to believe in this higher power, put all my trust in it, and then someone I love will die. Like I'll be like betrayed by God. And she said, you know, in life, you know, people are going to die. Things are going to happen. Would you rather have a God or not have a God? And when she said that, I was like, you know, I really would rather have a God. And on our second meeting, she showed me how to do a four step. And I started working on that four step. And of course, you know, I would procrastinate and not do it. And, you know, one night she kicked my ass. she called me and she said, hey, so how are things going? And I'm like, oh, they're good. She's like, how's that foursome? I'm like, oh, it's good. And she's like, did you work on it? And I'm like, no. She's like, you know, Candida, you're full of shit. And I was like, what? I'm doing the program. She's like, you know, you really don't want this thing. And I'm like, what are you talking about? That's not true. I totally want it. And I said, I'm trying. And she said, you know what, Candida, try to pick up that cup of coffee. And I picked it up and she's like, try to put it down. And I put it down and she's like, are you trying? And I'm like, no. She's like, you're doing it right. And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, exactly. She's like, in life, you either do it or you don't do it. And if you don't do it, it's because you don't want to do it. So get honest with yourself, get honest with your higher power, and ask for willingness. And I just hung the phone up on her like, bitch. And that night when I was going to sleep, I like her words, like I just couldn't get it out of my head. And I was like, you know, I wanted to think she was wrong, but I was like, you know, she's right. And I got in touch with the fear. Like I knew that somehow by working these steps, I was going to change. Like I intuitively knew that. And I think what was scaring me was I didn't know what I was going to be changed into. And that was why I was like stalling. But once I got, you know, in touch with that fear, I was able to like finish that fourth step, share the fifth step with her. And, you know, even till this day, I'm 20 years sober. And to this day, like my first instinct is to hide, to not tell you the truth, you know, make myself look a lot better than what I am. And so it goes against every like fiber in my being to like sit there and like share things honestly with another person. And I love what it says about in the book, you know, how we like therapists have worked with us, you know, they've made no progress because we're not honest with them. And, you know, sharing that fifth step, you know, for me immediately, like so many things, you know, so much freedom came from that moment. You know, I didn't see it in that moment, but looking back, it's like when all the magic started for me. And, you know, my ego will tell me, if I show you who I am, you know, you're going to run away. You're not going to love me and I'm going to be alone. But the truth is, when I don't share and I keep things inside myself, that's when I'm alone. And whenever I've taken fifth steps with sponsors, first of all, I've never been judged. And following those fifth steps, I feel like this sense of belonging. I feel like I do feel loved. I feel a part of. It's such a weird contradiction, you know, because my ego will tell me the total opposite. But when I do it, you know, that's what I get from it. So I'll let David share now. Thank you.
Thank you, Candida. I was happy. I was content listening. Hi, everybody. I'm an alcoholic. My name's David. I'm grateful to be here and grateful to be sober tonight. It's a joy to sit on the panel with Candida and Malcolm and everybody. I see Aaliyah smiling. It's a good day. It's a good day to be a drunk. I did not want this to be the answer. I didn't want Alcoholics Anonymous to be the answer. I didn't want to come here. I didn't want to do your stupid little steps. I didn't want to take direction from some life coach called a sponsor. I just found all of it annoying. And, you know, and I'm one of those people that came in and out of Alcoholics Anonymous for 6 years, you know, before I really, really accepted, I'm not even going to say totally, but enough to get to that place where it's like, I'll tell you this, my first AA meeting, And I was telling the old man all the reasons why I shouldn't be here. And he said, listen, David, he said, alcoholism doesn't care about any of that. Once you start, you can't stop. And when you stop, you can't stay stopped. If you've got either of those two things, you've got a problem you can't solve. And that's how powerlessness was presented to me. And I had to try to control and enjoy my drinking for another 6 years. I tried to control and enjoy my sobriety on my own. I tried everything that I could think of to fix what was wrong with me. And it took me a long time to just surrender to the idea that I needed to do Alcoholics Anonymous. And that was enough to get me here. That was enough to get me in motion. That was enough to get me into a home group. That was enough to get me talking to a sponsor and following some direction and putting my feet in this path that really goes somewhere. And for the longest time, you know, that paragraph that Malcolm read starts off, having made our personal inventory, was like having, in my case, that's having fast forwarded a year and a half into sobriety, because I did not rush right into this inventory. And I'm one of those people. I forget exactly how Candida phrased it, but it's sort of that idea that, I don't know if you guys have this, but I've had it all my life, that basic idea, if you really knew me, you wouldn't love me. You would abandon me. You would discard me if you really knew who I was. And I was sober for many, many years in Alcoholics Anonymous before it occurred to me, like, well, how are you ever going to find out unless you tell someone who you really are and find out if that's true or not, right? And that's for later on in this step. But I thought for a long time I was afraid of the fourth step. I procrastinated on the fourth step. I couldn't find my pencil. You know, I didn't have the right notebook. I had to interview everybody after the meeting, like, hey, man, this fourth step thing. Some people tell me life stories. Some people just do it the way it's in the book, David. I'm like, God, that's not good enough. It's got to be much more complex than that, you know? And so I just ran around like a knucklehead bothering everybody that would, you know, listen to me. So anyway, it took me a long time to even get to the point where I'd made that personal inventory. And it was only through pain. It was only through the discomfort of inaction that I made any action forward at all. It tells me in that paragraph that we read that solitary self-appraisal is insufficient. I don't know about you guys, but I don't go around solving problems that I think are solved. You know, I mean, if I think it's been handled, that's a done deal, case closed. You know, it would be neurotic. You know, if I think the sky's blue, I don't spend any time at all wondering if that's true or not. So I don't really need any counsel. I've appraised the situation. It's not a big deal. Let's not look any further. But it says I'm not going to overcome drinking unless I take this vital step. It talks about very specifically having persevered with the rest of the program. They wondered why they fell. It became clear to me that I needed to do this inventory. And it wasn't the fourth step that I was afraid of. It really was the fifth step. I did not want to make myself vulnerable in front of another human being with all the petty, hateful, selfish, lewd, disgusting issues of my life that I tossed and turned over every night of my life, reliving it and remembering it. But I was taking that stuff to my grave. So I tried to get by this one. So that's it for that. There's more.
Hey, thank you both. Moving on to page 73. More than most people, the alcoholic leads a double life. He is very much the actor. To the outer world, he presents his stage character. This is the one he likes his fellows to see. He wants to enjoy a certain reputation, but knows in his heart he doesn't deserve it. The inconsistency is made worse by the things he does on his spree. But coming to his senses, he is revolted at certain episodes he vaguely remembers. These memories are a nightmare. He trembles to think someone might have observed him. As fast as he can, he pushes these memories far inside himself. He hopes they will never see the light of day. He is under constant fear and tension. That makes for more drinking. Candida?
So I can honestly say, you know, looking back at all my drinking, I don't feel like I have that same sense of like shame and horror. But I just remember like waking up in the mornings like, oh, what did I say? What did I do? You know? But I think there's like two things still in my drinking that I look back and I still cringe at, like, oh, I did that. You know, so what's that incomprehensible demoralization? You know, that's what my drinking did. you know, just calling people like, hey, what happened last night? But you know, that whole thing of like, you know, living double lives, like I felt like my life was such compartmentalized, you know, I had this group of people that I did this with, I had this group of people that I did that with, and everything was like all separated. And I was such a secretive person. I had, you know, journals of writing that when I would go on vacation, I wouldn't even enjoy my vacation because someone might be reading it, just like craziness. And when I did that fifth step, after I shared it with my sponsor, she was very adamant about getting rid of it. And she's like, go throw that in the dumpster. And I was like, no, I can't. Somebody will find it. They'll know everything about me. And I said, I'm going to take it home and burn it. And she's like, okay, but you got to get rid of it. And so I was driving home. It was a Sunday night. I had to work early the next morning. And it was already, we had spent the whole day doing this fifth step. And I was driving home and I just imagined like getting to my house, starting a fire. So I just said, forget this. I turned my car around. There was like a church. It was Unity on the Bay in Miami. And there used to be a bay there. So I was like, I'm just going to throw it in the water. And when I went to throw the book in the water, the notebook, a wind hit it and all the pages started flying everywhere, like on the floor right next to me. And I was like, oh my God. And I was like frantic trying to pick everything up. And it's like, I had a moment, like, I guess where I was outside myself and I was able to see myself and I'm like, what are you doing? This is crazy. And I just left it there. I mean, I left it there. Anybody could have found it. They could have known everything. And when I got in my car, I started driving away and I started thinking of all the people that might be able to find it, who might see it. And it was like, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. And in that moment, I didn't realize that was freedom. Like looking back now, I'm like, wow, just, you know, finishing that step, like there was already this freedom. And I can honestly say, you know, of course there's things I don't want to, like, I'm sure behavior that I do that I don't want everybody to see that I've done, you know. But for the most part, I feel like I'm pretty consistent in my life. You know, like I'm the same person at work that I am here. And, you know, and AA has given me that. My life is not compartmentalized. And that's all. Thanks.
Yeah, that's everything for me. That paragraph just rings me right down. Every single line rings in my experience. You know, the double life, if I could only get it down to two, you know. I mean, I was thinking about the compartmentalization when Candida was sharing. I was like, you know, before the 12 steps, before sponsorship, before coming through this process, you absolutely could not have my mother and my boss and my girlfriend and my best friend all in the same room at the same time. They can't all be together. Because I am absolutely different people to all of those people. I am the actor. You know what I mean? It's like somebody asked me, I used to have this complicated flow chart. If you asked me a simple question, and not that I designed a flow chart, it's only in hindsight that I can see it. But if you ask me a simple question, my first thought is, why does he want to know that? What's the right answer? What does he want to hear? What's going to benefit me to tell him? You know, none of that has anything to do with the truth. You know, I'm just always trying to figure out who you want me to be, and I'm trying to be it. You know, and we get pretty good at that, right? I mean, that just becomes a way of life, and that's me. So, stage character, absolutely. All my life, I have felt it. You know, deeply, that it's much more important to appear competent than to do the work that it takes to achieve competency. You know, is it that I just got to look good, or what's the right answer, or what sounds good? These are all things that go through my little flowchart, rather than just like thinking about the question and what's the actual answer and answering it. You know, it's much more simple to live that way. Man, that second paragraph, that inconsistency made worse by the things I've done on my sprees. That's the whole last 6 years of my drinking, dude. I became increasingly appalled at, I'm not doing a fifth step here, but the things that I am capable of saying and doing under the influence of alcohol are absolutely disgusting to me. And I know what a blackout is. You know, I didn't learn that until I came to AA. I just thought it was normal to lose time. When you're drinking, everybody loses time. Like, and when Candida, when you were talking about making that call, like, hey, what happened last night? What I'm really saying is, do you remember what I did last night? I'm just trying to figure out if you're mad at me or not, you know, because I know what a blackout is. Blackouts are normal, but I also know what it's like to come to and remember that shit. that I said last night. Oh God, I did it again. I said it again, you know? And then that last line in there, that this makes for more fear and tension. And every time we read that, I just am immediately propelled back into, I lived like that for 15 years under constant fear and tension, trying to protect some lie, some image, some reputation, some secret, something that I'm scared to death that you're going to find out about me. Because deep down, I know it. I absolutely know that if you knew who I was, you wouldn't want anything to do with me. You just absolutely wouldn't. I know that to be a fact. So therefore, I must protect my secrets and I must protect my image and pay attention to that stuff. So fear and tension was a way of life. And fear and tension, there's only a couple of ways to resolve that. And I only knew one. And it worked really well for a long time, right up until the moment that it doesn't work anymore. And now I put the plug in the jug and I'm just left with fear and tension. Now what? Thanks.
Thank you both. Moving on to page 75. When we decide who is to hear our story, we waste no time. We have a written inventory and we are prepared for a long talk. We explain to our partner what we are about to do and why we have to do it. He should realize that we are engaged upon a life and death errand. Most people approached in this way will be glad to help. They will be honored by our confidence. We pocket our pride and go to it, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, we are delighted. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we are at the broad highway, walking hand in hand, the spirit of the Candida.
So that definitely was not my experience after the fifth step. I didn't feel like I was on the broad highway hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. I kind of felt for a little while like a truck had hit me. But, you know, after that, whatever that was, shame or whatever those feelings, you know, kind of like subsided, you know, I really do feel that the, you know, I've heard people say, you know, we work the steps and the steps work us. I feel like after I did that fifth step, like the steps kind of started to work me. It was strange, like a job that I had, you know, where when I was drinking, I was like horrible, calling out sick because I'd be drinking, you know, like right after my fifth step, they called me and they asked me if I could work on the campaign again. And I was able to go back and be a different employee, you know, like all sorts of magical things started happening. But I just want to say something about the fifth step and choosing a person. You know, I've been very blessed. You know, I've chosen to do my fifth steps with my sponsors. I think it's okay if people decide to do it with like a priest or want to share some sides with others, you know. But, you know, I think that experience of like just letting another person like get to know you has been very valuable for me. And, you know, I remember my first sponsor, I don't know if I said something to her, like kind of scared, like she might tell people or something. And she said, you know, I don't remember anything that people tell me after I do a fifth step. And I thought, she's just saying that to make me feel better. But, you know, I've listened to other people's fifth steps and I honestly can't remember. It's like almost like a God thing. Like God just like takes that out, you know, it's not for me. I'm just like, just there to be of service. But I can honestly say I've gotten so much more out of listening to other people's fifth steps than doing my own. There's just that feeling of like connectedness. And like I said, you know, my ego fights at every corner to do this, you know, don't share, don't let other people know who you are. And, you know, having the courage and doing it, like I feel that connectedness. I feel that part ofness. I can feel the love. So it's vigilance for me, like till this day, like I have to like, you know, force myself to say the stuff that's going on in my life. That's it. Thanks.
Thanks, Candida. Yeah, my experience with this, I've always done my fifth steps with sponsors. When I hear a fifth step, I do kind of visit this idea in here. Right before I hear a fifth step, I will express to the person who's giving it to me that I am, in fact, honored by their confidence. I am grateful that you've chosen me to tell me this, you know, and we should both realize that we are in fact on a life and death errand. You know, this really is the keys to the kingdom here, what we're offered to practice. And so in that way, it comes in. I never had a sponsor tell me that. Although no, I did my second sponsor, I get a little mixed up. I've had a few, but I remember when I sat down with him, he just said, thank you. thank you for sharing your fist up with me. And we hadn't even talked yet, but he hit me with some gratitude. And I thought, and I remember how that made me feel. So I love doing this with Candida because it's like, I had the opposite experience. I walked into that fifth step, convinced that I needed to do it. I had honestly done the best I could. I've found more stuff along the way, things that I've forgotten. But I did the best I could at the time with what I had. And there definitely were two or three things that I was going to take to my grave for sure. I thought there were many more than that, but really it was just a couple of things that were just keeping me up at night and appalling to me to even remember. And I had them, and I knew that they were targets for this inventory. They didn't fit neatly in any of the columns, but I knew that intuitively that they were things that needed to be discussed. And I remember sitting in that man, he had a little wood shop out back of his house, and we went into his little wood shop, and it was a cool environment, man. He was a carpenter, and he had all these great tools, and they all had their place, and obviously cool stuff was being made there and different projects and furniture. And I was just in awe of that. You know, I always wanted to be somebody who could do something like that. So I just had a lot of admiration for this wood shop. And there we sat in there, chain smoking cigarettes, and I gave it up. You know, I just read the thing, and I stared at the floor, and don't you know that the parts to me that were so abhorrent, the things that I was taking to my grave, those were the very things that he said, yeah, that happened to me once. I did that once. Here's what that looked like for me. And he shared himself with me as I was unburdening myself to him. And I did leave there with all of those things, feeling hope, feeling light. I remember driving away from there. It was in Bayview, kind of near Ocean View. But I remember driving away from there and just noticing the way the light was hitting the trees, the little shadows that were being cast, and how brilliantly blue the sky was, and how the clouds were popping against that blue sky. And I felt really like I belonged here on this planet for the first time in my life that I could remember, that I had a place here, that it was okay that I was here. I was not the only one who did those things, who felt those things, who thought those things. You know, I really did. I was able to be alone at perfect peace and ease, and my fears began to fall from us. And maybe there is a God, and maybe I'm in the right place. You know, I absolutely had that experience. I'll tell you a quick story. Because of, you know, there's other steps, you know, ones that come before this one, ones that come afterwards. That guy that heard my Larry was his name. He's my sponsor, Larry Gabbard. He used to have a big handlebar mustache. He's super, super cool mustache, right? And he was obviously proud of it. And but anyway, he used to call me Mr. Fix-It. And I thought it was a compliment. I thought he recognized the talent, you know, in my mind, because I'm just always, you know, solving people's problems. And he just mentioned that his son was having trouble getting a job. And I'm like, I'll hire that boy, you know, and I gave him a job at the company I worked for. And that guy was, he wasn't worth a nickel. he lied, he cheated, he stole, he made me madder and madder and madder. And I didn't handle confrontation and conflict very well. We ended up getting into a physical altercation. I'm 2 weeks before my third anniversary in Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm standing assault charges. I didn't stand assault charges when I was drinking. I just got my ass kicked, you know. I'm standing there in front of the judge thinking there might be some holes in my program. But anyway, that blood's thicker than water. So the boy's mother, my name became unspeakable around the house. My sponsor had to let me go. His son was Larry Jr. And that was that. That was over. Years later, during the inventory, fifth step, and amends process, little Larry comes up on my amends list. He's an unmade amends, and I don't want to do it. I don't want to show up in front of this kid. He lied, cheated, and stole. He caused me to behave badly. It wasn't my fault. All my stories start that way. I was just minding my own business, doing the right thing, doing the Lord's work. And so anyway, don't you know? This is how God works. I'm trying to be careful not to make definitive statements like that. I don't know how God works, but here's what happened. I went to a meeting that I don't normally go to, and I walk in, and there's one seat in the whole room that's available, only one seat, and it's next to little Larry. And I'm like, okay. And so I go in and I sit down next to him and he greets me politely. I greet him politely. And a couple minutes before the meeting starts, I said, Larry, I have always felt bad about what happened between us. I was wrong. I shouldn't have put you in that position. I treated you unfairly. I would make that right if I can. If you can find it in your heart to forgive me. And he says, oh man, don't worry about it. That was a long time ago. I was an asshole. I didn't treat that job seriously, you know, and I've been sober now for 30 days, you know, and I hug on this kid. I got more love for this guy than I've ever felt for anybody. And then Larry passes away some years later, whatever, months later, I don't remember, but Larry dies and I go to his funeral. And I don't have any problem going to his funeral, man, because I made my amends. And little Larry says, David, would you like to come to the house? I got invited to the house. I don't want to go to the house. I don't want to go to anybody's house. But I said, yes, I would love to. And I went to the house. And so now I'm sitting in this man's house again after he's passed away with his son that I assaulted. And it occurred to me all of a sudden, I said, hey, Larry, I know you got a lot going on with your pop dying and all, but I wonder if I could go back in that in his wood shop one more time. I did my first fifth step there. And then the other guy in the room, Woody, goes, I did my first fifth step there. I'm like, no kidding. I didn't even know Larry sponsored you. Oh, yeah. Now we're chit-chatting about that. And now the three of us go out to this woodshed and we're just standing there smoking cigarettes, smelling the air and talking about this beautiful man that was Larry, who guided me through this first fifth step, who let me not be the only one who ever did that stuff or felt that way. And so I don't know why I tell you that story. I hope it's useful to somebody, but these things all fit together, man. If I hadn't had done the inventory, I never would have got to the amends. If I hadn't actually made the amends, I wouldn't have been invited to the house. You know, I mean, these things ripple out in all our lives. And anyway, sorry, I took too much time. Thanks.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Candida. Moving on to page 75. Returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet for an hour, carefully reviewing what we have done. We thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know him better. Taking this book down from our shelf, we turn to the page which contains the 12 steps. Carefully reading the first five proposals, we ask if we have omitted anything, for we are building an arch through which we shall walk a free man at last. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement put into the foundation? Have we tried to make mortar without sand? If we can answer to our satisfaction, we then look at step six. We have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? Can he now take them all, every one? If we still cling to something we will not let go, we ask God to help us be willing. Candida?
You know, I've done in my recovery, I've done many fourth and fifth steps. And I remember one time I did a fifth step and you're supposed to read that part and spend time for an hour alone and contemplate what you've done. And I remember that line. I mean, I missed it. There's things in the big book that, you know, all of a sudden you're like, ooh, that was there. I never, like, thank God from the bottom of our heart that we got to know him better. You know, how beautiful is that? I mean, I remember seeing that popping out to me and just like feeling like this, you know, and I did feel that closeness. I just totally lost my train of thought. this is what I was going to say. You know, when I first did the steps, I don't feel like I had a lot of like self-awareness. I think like awareness, has taken me a real long time to like just see one thing. And, you know, after I did finish my first fifth step, I thought my only character defects were that I ate a lot of sugar and I drank too much coffee. Like that was my only problem. And I remember when I was writing my fourth step, you know, there was only one awareness that I really had was like, I noticed that in relationships, I either was like dominating or dominated, but there was no like equality, you know, little things like that. And I remember one time, you know, doing a fifth step with a sponsor, and it was so funny because my sponsor used to say, you know, when you do a fourth step, you're bringing like a little lighter, you know, you're able to see, and then your sponsor brings a flashlight, but then God brings the floodlight. And so as I was writing, I got some awareness, you know, my sponsor helped me see a little more, but then God will just like, you know, kind of show something real glaring. And I remember one time I did this fourth step and it was really thorough. And there was only just one thing that came from it. Like me and my sponsor, we just started laughing at the end, like, oh, there's the dishonesty. And it was like this dishonesty of like, if you asked me, do you want to go to the movies? And I really didn't want to go to the movies. I'd be like, yeah, sure. I want to. I love the movies, you know? And then I'd be angry and hate everybody. But it was like, I was the one who was getting the ball rolling. I just was never honest, like about how I truly felt about things, how, what I really wanted, you know? So that was a good awareness. And, you know, through the years, of course, more awareness. But, you know, I remember a sponsor saying with that six step, you know, that sometimes like just a gift of doing those first five steps, like God just takes a lot away, you know, there's not a lot of direction on how to do it, what to do with the six and seven step. So, you know, for me, that was my experience. Like a lot of these glaring defects, like they kind of like, were not taken away 100%, but I had a sponsor say, it's like, God doesn't take it all away, but he kind of lowers the volume. Like, it's not this like glaring, blah, 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 you know, it's like the volume is a little like turned down a little. And for me, that was my experience. And then, you know, of course, like for me, addiction is like whack-a-mole. You put one thing down, another thing pops up, and it's always something. And, you know, I feel that the areas of my life that I try to like handle myself, you know, that I'm going to deal with this, I'm going to figure it out. Like the finances, romances, those are the areas I always struggle with. Thank you.
Yeah. Nobody calls you at 1 o'clock in the morning, unless it's finance or romance, right? Call you at 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm very concerned about my neighbor. It's never happened. Okay. Sorry. I think this is my opinion, so feel free to discard it. But I think that this quiet hour, whether you call it step five, part B, or step six, I don't know. But it's over. I know it's overlooked. You know, I field a lot of phone calls from guys, and I just don't know the step six thing. And it's like, well, did you do your fifth step? Yeah, I did my fifth step. And then I'll say, did you take your quiet hour? And they don't even know what I'm talking about. So it looks to me on paper here that step six gets completed about an hour after step five. I may be just oversimplifying things, but I'm supposed to go home after I do this fifth step and be quiet and review the first five proposals. And I was taught that he's talking about the first five steps. And so when I start thinking about that, you know, where am I on this idea of personal powerlessness, managing my own life? And am I even acquainted with the idea that a higher power can restore these things? Where am I on that? What does my decision look like to be his child, to be his agent, to be the actor on the stage, to receiving a higher power's direction? Am I in that arena, or am I overlooking it? Am I just, you know, bulling ahead? It's fairly easy to see if I've omitted something intentionally on my fourth step. I'm aware of that. You know, but are these stones properly in place? Am I trying to go forward having not really done everything? You know, did I give everything in my fifth step? And I've had people call after the quiet hour and say, I didn't tell you something. I'm like, great, let's do it now. What do you got? Yeah, me too. I did that too. I thought that too. I felt that way, you know. But have I really, I don't know. I only know my own experience. My own experience, I know if I'm holding something back. I know if I'm just checking a box. I know if I'm just kind of moving through something. But then it says, if we can answer to our own satisfaction, not my sponsor satisfaction, not my home group satisfaction, if I can answer these things between me and my creator, then we look at step six. And then he says willingness about 10 times. And am I now ready to let God remove from me all the things I've admitted are objectionable? And that objectionable stuff is a pretty short list in my experience as well. It's all selfishness, dishonesty, self-seeking, and fear. And the fear is the big one with me. The fear sets in motion the trains of circumstances that cause me to manipulate. To you know, fear will, believe me, if you scare me, I will lie to you. You know, if you back me in a corner, I'll just start talking, you know. But I have to also look at, hey, David, how have you done to date removing your own fear? How have you done to date, you know, being an honest person? How you doing with your selfishness? Have you been able to will that away? You know, and I got to come eyeball to eyeball with this idea that God's the only one that can remove this stuff. My drinking problem's gone. One of my sponsors, Bo, I worked with for about 8 years. His central message to me was, your life is no longer any of your business, David. You can't do anything about your drinking. You can't do anything about your selfishness. You can't do anything about your dishonesty, but I can be willing to hand these to the Father. I can be willing to hand these to God, sincerely hand them over. Will you do something with this for me and propel me into the direction you want me to go? And I don't have any quarrel with the idea of practicing the opposite, you know. In every inventory I ever did on sex, it says, what should I have done instead? You know, and I'm such a rocket surgeon, you know, I think, I don't know, maybe been honest, been unselfish, you know, what's the other one? Where had I been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, inconsiderate, maybe been considerate? You know, practicing consideration unlocks a lot of doors. You know, if I start thinking about you and what you've told me about you and what your concerns are, I start to have compassion for you. I start to think about, well, what can I do to cheer this person up? What can I do to lighten their load? When I just start to consider you, a whole thing comes in behind that. My natural condition is to consider me. So can he take them all, everyone? And it's been a long time since I had to get honest about clinging to something. I really don't want anything. I don't think I have anything of value to cling to. I sincerely want him to take all of it. I'm tired of dealing with me, all by myself. God, please take this, turn it into something useful. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you both. Moving on to our last reading, which is from page 76. When ready, we say something like this: My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. We have then completed step 7. Candida?
Yeah, you know, like David, if I could have fixed myself a long time ago, I would have, you know. And I like that, the good and the bad, you know, it's not up to me to decide, you know, whatever stands in my way of my usefulness. I heard a story, and then I'll close. But it was a story somebody shared when they were talking about the 7th step. And they said, you know, there was this water bearer, and he was carrying, he was carrying 2 pots of water. And, you know, one of the pots was defected, and it kept on, like, just, you know, pouring water out. So, you know, the water bearer's job was to take this water up to the king's table, you know, and fill the pots up there. And one day the pot says, you know, why do you keep me? I'm not even able to, like, deliver a full cup of water to the master's table. And the water bearer says, the next time we're walking up, I want you to watch your side of the road, like, pay attention to your side of the road. And, you know, the water bearer said, okay, I don't get it. You know, he's like, well, if you notice, like, on your side of the road, I knew that you were defected. So I planted seeds, and every day you've been watering. And on your side of the road, there's all these beautiful flowers, you know? So it's like, I don't know, like, how, where my usefulness is, you know, maybe some of my broken parts are useful to God. But it's really not up to me what gets to go and what gets to stay. And if I did have the power to fix me, I would have done it a long time ago. I really do think that the 6th and 7th step is just getting to a place to, like, to let God come in and do the work. You know, like, I couldn't cure my alcoholism. I had to get to a place of enough, like, beaten down humility that I said, okay, help, I surrender, you know? And unfortunately, sometimes I don't always like it to be that way, but sometimes it has to get that way with other things too. I remember somebody used to say, like, in Al-Anon, if you look at the literature though on the book, it says self-help, and had a sponsor that crossed that up. This is not a self-help program. This is a God help program. And I was, this weekend, I was on a spiritual retreat, and there was a girl there, and she was just trying to figure out how to fix her mind. And I'm like, you, good luck. Have fun with that. Have fun with that. Like, you can go at that all day. Like, it just doesn't work. I remember people saying when I first came to the program, why is a lie? You know, when you ask why, it's a lie. Like, why am I an alcoholic? It doesn't matter. I don't need to know why to get better. And that's been my truth.
Thank you, Candida. I love you. So here we are. When ready, we say something like this: My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character that stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. It really sort of feels like the close of the 3rd step to me, you know? And I don't know if this is weird or radical or controversial or anything. I'm not trying to fight with anybody. I don't think this step has anything to do with God. I think it has to do with my attitude, my willingness. Am I ready? Do I even believe that he can take these things? And am I willing to offer them freely? I can't my wagon is broke and I can't fix it. Please take this. And then, you know, like in the third step, when it says, you know, take away my difficulties, I certainly like that part. I would like my difficulties to be gone, you know, but it talks about, you know, take away my difficulties. The victory over them might be an example to those I would help. Take away my difficulties, not so little Davy feels better, but so that they might be useful to somebody else or inspiring to somebody else. And this is asking me, take away my fear, take away my selfishness and my self-seeking and my dishonesty. If it stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my brothers and my sisters, and I'm asking for strength, grant me strength, because of myself, I am nothing. I can't do this thing. I can't. Left to my own devices, I will just go get stuff for myself. I will launch into a campaign of personal enjoyment and entertainment. This is all I want, is to be entertained. I want to feel good all the time, but you keep asking me to be useful, and I need the strength to go out from here to do what you want me to do. Amen. So if I, again, like, I really believe it has more to do with my attitude and oh God, I'll say this and shut up. What am I trying to say? Now I just lost my train of thought. God, it was good. Too bad for you guys. I'll remember later and it'll be great for me. Yeah, sorry. It's gone. I was talking about my attitude. Yep. It's properly gone. I don't know what I was going to do, but you know, just this idea too, that I can't fix it. God can fix it. Why don't you point me and give me the strength to go forward and try to be useful and then start taking those actions, some sort of constructive action in that direction, whether I find myself at my job or in my home or at my home group or whatever, just walking and I picked up a piece of trash from the beach the other day and I didn't even want anybody to give me a medal. You know what I mean? It just was something that needed to be done. So I did it. I didn't make sure anybody saw me pick it up. You know, can I do something that's, you know, contributing and useful and decent, you know, just for the sake of living that way. I remembered what I was going to say. And then I forgot it again. God bless it. Oh, man. Oh, God, it's so tasty, too. I should just shut up. I love you all. Thanks for letting me share. Good night.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Candida. That was great stuff, you two. Thanks so much. Just a moment, please. Okay. So David has put the PayPal link in the chat. Thank you, David. Our web address. You can sign up for our email on our website, simpleactions.net. Our seventh tradition states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contribution. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district area, and the general service office remain self-supported. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose to help the alcoholic who still suffers. A word about our common welfare and safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meetings can take place. Announcements. Are there any AA-related announcements? Anyone? I don't see any hands. Okay. Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. Home group members, raise your hand. Hands. Thanks, folks. Okay. Sponsorship. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, we will be available after we close the meeting. Please feel free to talk to any of us, or you can email us at info@simpleactions.net. I think that's in the chat too. Thanks again, David and Candida. Wonderful stuff, you two. Thank you so much. And thanks for everyone who in attendance. And after we recite the Lord's Prayer, I'm going to unmute everyone. Actually, you can unmute yourselves, I think. And so you can have a chance to thank the panel. And Amy has volunteered to read the last two paragraphs on page 164. And she says she has that handy. But David, if you could, thanks so much, David. Great.
Hey, everybody. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Amy.
Hello,
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. He shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you, Amy. So let's close with a moment of silence for the still sick and suffering, followed by the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Hallowed be thy name.
The kingdom come.
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our trespasses. As we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory.
Forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, you two.
Woohoo! Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Y'all were great. Thank you.
Thanks.